Frederick Douglass is one of the most remarkable political figures of the 19th century, an escaped slave who went on to become a statesman. He led the struggle for emancipation and was also one of the few male public figures to champion women's rights. Despite all his public activity, Douglass managed to keep his personal life to himself, a situation that would be impossible today. Now a new biography by Pulitzer Prize-winning author William McFeely tries to open up Frederick Douglass's private life.
Few people have written so much about themselves and yet have revealed so little as Frederick Douglass. He wrote three different versions of his autobiography. The first, The Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, is the version most people know. All three autobiographies cover a lot of the same ground. They also have the same gaps and silences. Douglass didn't know who his father was, although he was almost certainly a white man. He only saw his mother a few times, and he's closed-mouthed about his feelings for her. Douglass dismisses his wife of 44 years, Anna Murray, in one sentence in the narrative. And he's also discreetly reticent about his second marriage to a white woman named Helen Pitts. Instead, Douglass's autobiographies concentrate on his extraordinary achievements. We learn how, as a child in slavery, he taught himself to read, an act punishable by death. We hear sketchy details of his escape to New York and freedom. Douglass recounts his career as the editor of the North Star and as the most charismatic orator in the abolitionist movement. Elizabeth Cady Stanton once recalled seeing Douglass give his first public speech in 1841. He stood like an African prince, majestic in his wrath. Yet none of the autobiographies tells us how Douglass himself felt after that famous speech that catapulted him into politics. Douglass counseled John Brown and Abraham Lincoln. Late in his career, he served as minister to Haiti. He lived a public life, yet like another public man, George Washington, Douglass seems remote, more icon than flesh and blood. In historian William McFeely's new biography of Douglass, he tries to elaborate on Douglass's self-portrait, with mixed results. McFeely does a good job of describing Douglass's role in the political issues of his times. He traces tensions within the abolitionist movement, Douglass's strong support of the first women's movement, and his isolation from the black and white working class. But Douglass's personal life remains elusive. McFeely's style is workmanlike, but compared to Douglass's soaring rhetoric, most other people's writing would be. Here's an excerpt from the speech, The Negro Problem in America, that Douglass gave at the Chicago World's Fair in 1892. There is no Negro problem. The problem is whether the American people have loyalty enough, honor enough, patriotism enough to live up to their own Constitution. We Negroes, Douglass said, love our country. We fought for it. We only ask that we be treated as well as those who fought against it. Ironically, McFeely points out that Douglass's great gifts as an orator often worked against him with his white audiences. They saw Douglass not as an organizer of a movement or even as an individual, but as a marvelously compelling object of wonder. McFeely's biography tends to over-psychologize Douglass, but it does so in order to restore his humanity. A humanity that was denied him first by slavery and then by his own fame.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Frederick Douglass by William S. McFeely. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.